From the heartland of America, the gateway to the West, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie. Welcome to Coast AM. Split show for you tonight. Later on, Doomsday Preppers. Here's what's happening. NOAA forecasters are estimating a 40% chance of M-class solar flares and a 5% chance of X flares. In the next day or so, the most likely source will be sunspot AR-1613, which has an unstable magnetic field. Now, because this sunspot is directly facing good old planet Earth, any eruptions from the active region will almost certainly be geo-effective. So we'll keep our eyes on that tomorrow night for you as well. British Petroleum, BP, has received a record fine of $4 billion from the Department of Justice to settle criminal charges related to the 2010 Deepwater Horizon mishap. The fine will be paid in installments over 5 years. BP will pay an additional $525 million to the Securities and Exchange Commission in over 3 years. It is the biggest criminal penalty in U.S. history. The settlement with the Department of Justice involves BP pleading guilty to criminal charges. Captain Kelly Sweeney has been with us since day one of that spill, that horrible situation. And Kelly, these criminal charges, what did they do wrong other than the accident?
Ahoy, George. Well, they were negligent, and the government found them and charged them with negligence in how they handled the situation on the rig, you know, from the time before the spill occurred, after this, the Deepwater Horizon had a problem, how they handled it, and the information that they gave to the government. But they're getting off easier than they could have, George, because in this out-of-court settlement with our government, they agreed to a lesser charge of negligence instead of gross misconduct, which could have increased the fines by 300 or 400%.
Now, who gets all this money, Kelly? The government, or are they going to split it around to people out in that area?
Well, the Department of Justice is going to get about $1.25 billion. $2.4 billion or so is going to go to the National Fish and Wildlife Foundation, and $350 million is going to go to the National Academy of Sciences. But now, it should be noted, George, that this is just the first step, because the company still faces fines for violating various environmental laws. These are criminal complaints that the government made against BP. They still have to deal with the environmental laws, and that could total $21 billion, and they're going to have to deal with the individual lawsuits. Now, what I'm hoping that Coast listeners who are listening should be keeping an eye out for regarding this situation is, if criminal charges will be filed against Transocean, the foreign owner of that rig, the Deepwater Horizon, for its negligence in causing the death of 11 American citizens, and against Halliburton, which did the cementing during the well drilling.
All right, Kelly, I wanted to thank you, by the way, for staying with us on this story since 2010. I appreciate it.
George, my pleasure. As always, it's great to be part of Coast to Coast. You have great listeners, and you're a great host. Thank you.
Kelly Sweeney. Drinking one or two glasses of wine a week during pregnancy can have an impact on a child's IQ. According to a study, researchers from Oxford and Bristol universities looked at the IQ scores of 4,000 children, as well as recording the alcohol intake of their mothers. This is what they found. They found moderate alcohol intake of 1 to 6 units a week during pregnancy affected IQ. The 16th century Danish astronomer, you might remember him from school, Tycho Brahe, is unlikely to have been poisoned, according to a researcher studying his remains. The body was exhumed in 2010 in a bid to confirm the cause of death. Brahe was thought to have died of a bladder infection, but a previous exhumation found that mercury was in his hair, in his beard. However, the most recent tests have found that the levels of mercury were not high enough to have killed him. Texas Instruments eliminating 1,700 jobs as it winds down its mobile processing business to focus on chips for more profitable markets like cars and home appliances. Well, tomorrow morning could be a deadly day for Hostess, the company that makes Twinkies and all those other little snacks. The CEO says they're thinking of liquidating the company unless the workers return to work. He had put a deadline on Thursday. They did not go to work, so we'll see what happens there. Mortgage rates dropped again this week to the record lows. According to mortgage giant Freddie Mac, the average rate on 30-year mortgages fell to 3.3%. The 15-year fell to 2.65%. Catherine Austin Fitz with us. Catherine, still more good news for the housing market, but it still hasn't exploded yet, has it?
Well, George, you still have a tremendous number of homes that are late on their payments or are underwater. And so, you know, if everybody could refinance, there would be tremendous relief in this market, but not everybody can. It's funny because, you know, I keep telling you, I just don't see how rates could go lower, and then they go lower.
They do. How long can they go?
Well, in theory, there, you know, we have a distance between we get to zero. But at some point, the 15-year rate today hit 2.65%. That's very low. And it's, you know, if this keeps going on, we're only down about 0.5% from last year. So it's a last year at this time, if it was 4% on the 30-year rate, it's 3.34%, which is, you know, it's been low for about the last 8 weeks. So I think if you look at the way the interest rates are being managed, it's going to stay low for quite some time.
Can you imagine what would happen, Catherine, to housing if the rates were like 1%?
Yes, I can imagine what would happen. What I can't imagine is if it gets to the point where somebody will pay you to borrow money. You know, we have seen times both in 2008 and during the Depression when we literally saw interest rates go negative for a few of the higher quality bonds. So literally, you know, to invest in a Swiss bond, you literally had to, you know, take a negative interest rate. So you had to pay them for the privilege of lending the money. So
what's new with you, Mike?
But I think we're going to see low rates for quite a while here.
Solari.com, what are you up to?
Oh, I'm out in Santa Cruz. We've been doing a series called Financial Salons for Changing Times. And it's amazing, George. Everybody is waking up. And, of course, they all listen to Coast to Coast. So you're growing. I can tell you that.
It is.
You know, from being out and about. Coast to Coast is growing.
It is. And you help make it that way, Catherine. Thanks so much. Well, a lot of people not too happy with United Airlines today. A massive computer outage affected United Airlines flight operations. They've been fixed now, but a lot of people were stranded while that was going on. South African police have arrested a 25-year-old man suspected of attempting to smuggle 220 diamonds worth about $2.25 million. He had them in his digestive tract. How about that? Genetically modified foods. We've talked about it before. We're going to talk about it again. Barbara Peterson joins us, and we'll be back in a moment. Her work is called Farm Wars, and she's next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Barbara H. Peterson retired from the California Department of Corrections, where she worked as a correctional officer at the Folsom Prison. She then obtained a bachelor's degree in business. Barbara lives on a ranch in Oregon where she raises geese, chickens, horses, goats, and devotes a lot of her time to ranching and getting the word out about the dangers of GMO technology, which she believes is designed to make it nearly impossible to raise healthy animals from organic food. And let's go back to Barbara now. Barbara, how are you?
Oh, okay. Hanging in here. I got my cell phone up, and I was not prepared for that, but...
Yeah, I understand. You're out there in a region where, thank God, you got your cell phone. Hey, when you were at Folsom Prison, was Johnny out there? Johnny Cash?
No, he wasn't.
Uh-uh. He was not.
No.
Okay, that must have been way before your time, huh?
Yeah, a bit.
All right, Barbara, tell me, why did you get involved in GMO technology?
Well, I'll tell you, around 2005, what happened was I had developed a really, really bad rash. Have you ever had poison oak?
Thank God I have not. But I know some friends of mine who did when they were kids.
Well, it's pretty nasty. I got about the worst, it was like poison oak. It was a rash, and it started on my right calf, and it was like oozy and bumpy and so itchy, and it was about a dime size. And then it started spreading, and it went up my calf and all around my shoulders and then down my other leg, and it was so bad. I mean, it was oozing and itching. I couldn't sleep. I could barely think. It was so bad that I wanted to stop the itching so bad, I jumped in a tub of bleach.
Oh, my God. Good way to burn the skin off you, for crying out loud.
Oh, yeah, I couldn't sleep. I mean, I didn't. All I wanted to do was go to sleep and then wake up not itching. And
did it work?
Wasn't happening. And the bleach, no, nothing worked. Absolutely nothing worked. And I stopped eating. I equated it to the food because, you know, what else is there? You know,
and what were you eating? All kinds of food, corn, stuff like that?
Oh, yeah, you betcha. I was eating processed food and looking at the labels and not really, you know, understanding what was in the food. And I just thought, well, this looks healthy. It says natural. So must be healthy. And I used to be very, very into health. And now this was in around 1990, 91. And so I was really doing heavy endurance riding. And I was, I did the Tevis. And I did the Virginia State, Virginia City 100. And it was, you know, something that was very, very, I was very meticulous in my horse's nutrition and everything. And genetically modified food really wasn't, you know, out then. And I was, you know, I felt pretty safe and I was, you know, healthy, very, very healthy. If you can do a 100-mile ride on a horse in 24 hours and finish with the horse's tail up in the air and you trotting around, you know, you're healthy.
You are healthy. That's right. You might be a little sore, but you're healthy.
That's right. So I was okay. And then what happened was genetically modified food started flooding the market in 1996. Of course, I was oblivious, like most everybody else.
That's right.
And I just, you know, as far as I can tell, it's an accumulative thing. So here I am. I'm in Oregon. I've got my elderly mother with me, and, you know, she's in her 80s. And she went through this thing first. And I didn't understand. I looked at her and I thought, oh my goodness, she's scratching her leg like crazy. And I thought, well, take her to the doc. I took her to the doctors. I took her to so many doctors. I took her to specialists and they couldn't figure out what was wrong. And finally, after she went to the last high-priced specialist, he handed her a prescription for vaginal fungicide, a vaginal cream for fungus, and said, here, we really don't know what you have.
So he just tried it.
Yes. Well, it didn't work.
I'm sure it didn't.
No. So with her, I said, well, darn, you know, and I got very meticulous about her food. I still didn't, you know anything about GMOs. But I started getting meticulous about her food. I got a goat. I started milking the goat. I gave her goat's milk. I cooked all her stuff, gave her a lot of vegetables and stuff, and she started clearing up. And then she was fine. Well, she passed on, and I still didn't make the connection. Well, I was still eating the junk. I was
not knowing you were, obviously.
Right. Yeah, I thought it was good. And then I got the same darn thing that my mother got. And I thought, oh, good grief, what the heck is this? Well, not going to do any good going to the doctors because the doctor didn't know for her, so how the heck was he going to know for me? Well, he wasn't. So I stopped eating. I was scared to eat. I knew it was food-related because I started drinking. We have well water here. And I just started drinking water and eating raw vegetables. And, you know, I was afraid to eat. I lost almost 70 pounds just literally from not eating.
What'd you get down to?
Well, I was at about 198, and I got down to, I think at my lowest, I was 128 pounds.
A diet that you didn't really want.
No. I didn't want to go on a diet. You know, I knew I was a little chunky, but, you know, this. I didn't really want to go on a starvation diet, which is basically what I did because food scared me.
Those aren't healthy anyway. Well, how did you tie in the GMO foods with some of the things that were happening to you?
Well, this is what I did. I experimented on myself. It was a matter of drinking the water and then just starting to just eat a little food at a time. So I would do raw vegetables, raw fruit, and I was you know, starting to clear up. I was, you know, getting better. And then I started, as I'd get better, I'd just stick with what I knew. This is not hurting me, so I'm going to eat this.
All right.
And then I'd add something to my diet. And if I didn't itch, it was good. If I itched, it was bad. And I kept on doing this.
And you'd have that problem. You'd get itchy, you wouldn't. You'd go back and forth?
Yes, I'd go back and forth. And when I'd find something that I would eat that I would itch, I'd start researching the ingredients. And lo and behold, every single thing that could have been GMO made me itch.
And how soon, when you added that, did the problem start?
Almost immediately. If I ate something GMO, and by within a couple of hours, I'd start feeling a little bit of a bump there on my leg, and it'd itch. And I go, oh, geez, here it comes. And I was that sensitive.
And were there any specific kinds of GMO foods that did this to you, more so than the other kind?
Well, just about everything on the shelves contains some sort of a corn product or a soy product. Corn is number one. That has in just about everything. And the processed foods are the ones that I really, really had to look out for. So I will attribute a lot of it to corn, soy. Soy is in just about everything, too. So those two things are the main culprits. In my opinion, canola, it's GMO.
Barbara, in California, I thought this would win handily. It did not. Proposition 37, which would have required labeling of foods if they were genetically modified. And of course, you know, companies involved came in with a strong PR campaign and it went down to defeat. But nonetheless, I still would have thought that most people would have said, of course I want to see what kind of ingredients are on my food. And I thought it would have passed. What does that tell you about how people think about GMO foods?
Well, number one, they don't know. Number two, they listen to the propaganda that Monsanto and cohorts dish out. And they have the money. They have the money to put on that television anything they want, anytime they want.
Well, yeah, but here's my point. I mean, if I saw an ad that said, put a loaded gun up to your head, I don't care how much they spend on that commercial. I'm not going to do that because that's stupid. And in this particular case, you know, to ask people to vote on a proposition that would allow you to read the label that would tell you it's genetically modified, to me, is tantamount to that gun to the head. It's a slam dunk that people should have simply said, I want this passed. But they didn't.
Well, exactly. You know, that's exactly how I felt. But then I got an email, and I was told that, hey, guess what? The votes weren't all counted. Okay? There were 3 million, by the time that they went ahead and declared that the proposition had lost, it had failed, there were still over 3 million votes uncounted. Now, if it only lost by, between a 400 and 500,000 margin, how could they possibly project the loss when there's 3 million votes uncounted? How can you project a loss like that unless you know something that we don't know?
I want to talk with you, Barbara, when we come back about the seeds, the genetically modified seeds, and what's happening to the God-given seeds that we have. We'll be back. Welcome back with Barbara Peterson. We're talking about GMO foods. Her website, farmwars.info. Barbara, what about the God-given seeds, okay? The tomato seeds, the corn seeds, the cotton seeds. Where are they?
Well, they're losing ground. That's what's going on. With the genetic contamination due to the GMO seeds, it's ridiculous. There's a farmer in, it's a new case in Australia, organic farmer.
Mm-hmm.
He found that there was a 70% contamination of his organic field. He lost his organic certification. He's suing Monsanto. The farmers that were doing the genetically modified canola, which is what his crop got contaminated.
Oh, man, that's a huge case, isn't it?
Yes, it is. There's only a 5-meter, which is 15 feet, buffer zone, okay, between that they require between that genetically modified crop and any other crops. Well, let me tell you, what are they going to have to do? Have a little bug sitting there with a stop sign in the middle of it going, I'm sorry, you can't go past the 15-foot marker. They're going to go. Okay.
A little seed swatter. Whack, knock it back or something.
Yeah. Yeah, the GMO seed cop, you know.
Does the GMO seed take over? It's a stronger seed? I mean, what causes that?
What happens is contamination. Okay, a bug goes over, gets the pollen from the GMO plant, then goes over to another non-GMO plant, and then, you know, deposits that pollen there. That's contamination.
Why can't it go the other way? It just doesn't work that way?
Mm. Well, it's like, I look at it this way. Okay, say you have a glass of water. Okay, you've got a pure glass of water.
Okay.
Then you have a little drop of poison that gets put in that water. The GMO is the poison. That's the genetic contamination. That is genes that should never be together. Okay. Now you put that in the glass of water. What happens to the glass of water?
You've spoiled the water.
Exactly. Now if you take that pure water and you put it into a glass of poison, is it still poison?
It's still poison. It's still poison. It's still spoiled.
Exactly.
May have been watered down a little bit, but it's still spoiled.
Exactly. Except the genetic contamination doesn't get watered down. It'll go and say you have a big field and you might get a partial contamination of that field, and the gene that goes into the plant is going to express it's going to do what it was designed to do, at least partially.
If you go into a supermarket, and if it's not organically labeled, the chances are then that ear of corn is going to be genetically modified. Is that correct?
As a matter of fact, they have the sweet corn. There's two kind of corn. There's the corn that they use just basically for manufacturing things. And then there's your sweet corn, which is the kind that you go into the grocery aisle and then you go in, down the aisle and you grab some corn and, you know, go put it on the Barbie. Well, that has been genetically modified now. Okay, that sweet corn has. They always start with the corn because the corn is, I guess, the easiest and the most prolific. It's what they do.
And it's probably the cheapest one in the supermarket. Right?
Most likely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you charge for a ear of corn these days, it's not much, but they you know, compared to organic, it's probably much less.
Well, yeah, and the organic too. You see, this is you can't really differentiate that much between the organic and the conventional now because of the contamination issue. The USDA organic standards, they do not have a threshold set for GMO contamination. That means that there's nothing. They don't say, hey, there's 0.9% we'll allow or 0.1% that we'll allow. The European Union is I believe it's 0.9%. And they allow for contamination, you know, but if it's any more than that, they draw the line. Well, the United States doesn't have a threshold for contamination. And the only time they test is if there's a reason to believe that contamination has occurred. However, if you follow the instructions and put your little 5-meter or 15-foot buffer there, they assume that no contamination has occurred. So there's no reason to believe, so no testing is required.
In your opinion, was the creation of GMO foods done to put a lock on the seeds and the lock on the food control of this planet?
Most definitely. As a matter of fact, Monsanto has basically, in their document, stated that they want total control over all the seeds, and that's what they're working for. That's their bottom line. That's good for their shareholders. If they have control, that's what the business model is. They want control of all of the seeds. Now, the problem that arises with that is all we have to do is look at India and the BT cotton issue. Now, I just got through watching Bitter Seeds. If you haven't watched that
haven't seen that. So what's going on in India?
Well, this is what's going on. Monsanto had such a big monopoly there that they sold BT cotton seeds to the farmers. They said, oh, these are wonderful. You know, you're not going to get any problems. You're going to have super, super yields. Well, the farmers went into debt. They had to go to, if they could get a loan from the bank, that's great. They would do that. But if they couldn't get a loan from the bank, they went to the money lenders, who, of course, would charge an exorbitant fee. Now, a lot of them signed over their property. Now, if all you have is 3 acres and your family has to live and eat off of those 3 acres, and you also have to sell your produce to the market and, you know, to pay your money lender and, you know, do whatever else you have to do for the rest of the year until you get your next crop in, and that crop fails, which is exactly what happened. Then you lose your home, you lose your land, you lose everything. These farmers were committing suicide in droves, and when they went into, it showed it right there in India, when they went into one of those stores to buy seeds, they said, we want conventional seeds. We don't want these BT cotton seeds. They're not working. And they said, I'm sorry, that's all we've got.
So what has happened as of right now? What's going on there?
Right now, there is people jumping up and down, screaming and yelling to get GMOs out of India.
But they're still there.
It's still there.
Let's take some calls here. We'll use our Skype line. Mickey is in Texas and on the air with us. Go ahead, Mickey.
Hello, George.
Hi,
long-time Mac. Listener, big fan of the show.
Thank you so much.
I wanted to ask the guest tonight if she had ever heard of Morgellon and if she knew about any connection between Morgellon and the genetically modified food.
This relatively new disease called Morgellon's disease, where people itch, they have little fibers growing out of their arms. Have you heard of this?
Oh, definitely. In fact, I wrote something about it because I had found, several years ago, I'd found a connection between agrobacterium, which is used for genetic modification, and Morgellons. Now, the scientist that did that connection said, well, afterwards I had contacted him, and he recanted. But he had said there was a connection. He did find agrobacterium in the Morgellon's fibers. Now, I don't know a whole heck of a lot about it. I did have all the itching. I never had any fibers, you know, growing out. But I don't doubt for a minute that what these people are experiencing is very real. I don't doubt it for a minute, considering all the technology we have going on. We've got nanotechnology. We've got stuff being dumped on us from the skies. And then, of course, we have genetically modified organisms, and who knows what kind of DNA changes they're making.
Barbara, when you go to the store, hardware store, wherever you might go, and you pick up little packets of seeds for your little home garden, are these seeds genetically modified seeds, or are they, you know, God-given natural seeds?
Well, for the home garden,
yeah,
they haven't really gotten into Monsanto for the home garden yet. They're working on it, but they have not done it yet. So what I do is I go to get, when I get seeds and you say I've run out of something and I have to go to the hardware store and get something, I look up the company first. If they're associated with Monsanto or any type of Monsanto subsidiary or, you know, anything they're associated with, I will not buy that seed. I don't care if they say it's conventional, because I know about the contamination issues, and I will not go there, and I will not support anything that Monsanto does. I refuse. So at this point, getting good, clean seeds, what I recommend is getting heirloom seeds from some company such as like Baker Creek or something like that, or your neighbor. In fact, I put up a site called the Seed Lady Network, and people can share seeds. They can list their seeds for free, and we can just barter back and forth, you know, for our seeds, because Monsanto has a patent out, and it's for abiotic stress. So I know they're working on everything from apples to zucchini, because that's what the patent says.
Oh my gosh,
and
everything.
Yeah,
you know the worldwide seed bank that they're storing seeds away in case there's a calamity, okay? What are those seeds? Do you know?
The Svalbard Seed Bank?
Yeah.
Those are not GMO. There
they
is not one single GMO seed in that seed bank.
All right, let's go to Chris, truck driving in California now. Hey, Chris, thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, how you doing, George? I've been listening to you for about 13 years religiously. So,
thank you.
I got a story about myself. It was last year, October, I started getting these bumps, and they're like back my legs, on my arms and my hands, and I started just itching uncontrollably. So I went to the doctor, four different doctors. They didn't know, so they got went to the dermatologist, and the dermatologist said they looked like bug bites. So he took a test that came back negative. So after that, he didn't know, you know, what it was. They did a test. They told him to do, you know, a biopsy. They put it in, and they said it come back as like a mosquito bite. Well, this was like a year ago, and it's been going ongoing, but it's gotten better. I've cut out majority of the corn products that I eat and soy. Like the other day, I had tofu.
And be careful with the oils too, like canola oil and stuff like that.
Yeah, I had something with tofu in it the other day, and I started itching, started getting bumps. And the bumps were kind of like, if you touch them and you start scratching them, they would get worse and worse, like uncontrollable itching. And the only thing would help it would be prednisone. And then immediately when I got off prednisone, it all came back again. And they had no idea what it was. So the only thing I could do is control it. Thought maybe, you know, it was detergents or something like that. But the thing that I found out was just to cut out certain foods and try to go back to square one.
And those foods generally are genetically modified, aren't they?
Yeah. And, like, I know I have issues with products like apples. I can't eat apples, regular apples. I have to eat organic. Anything else I'm okay with. But my lips start itching, my gums start itching, my throat will itch. And, you know, I don't generally believe in the whole organic thing, but apples, if I want an apple, I have to have that. You know, bananas, I'm okay with, just different fruits like that. And I don't know, that was my story, so.
Well, Chris, let me tell you did the right thing doing what you did. How many people, Barbara, out there are affected by this, have the itching, who knows what, and they don't put two and two together?
Exactly. I'm in India. Somebody contacted me, and I had have a picture of this poor man who worked in the BT cotton fields, and he has that stuff all over his body just from working in the fields.
Let's go to Hawaii. David's with us west of the Rockies. Hey, David, go ahead.
Hi, good evening. I'm out here in Hawaii, and I used to live, I rented a house from somebody on Oahu that lived on a papaya farm, and I picked up one of his packages of seeds that was from the Department of Agriculture that he got from the University of Hawaii, and there is a labeling on these plastic bags that says genetically modified papaya seeds, and that's what they're giving the farmers to plant their papaya farms out here. My question is that I've got like 25 papaya trees now growing in my backyard. How many generations do you have to smash papayas and things like that? And I guess it would be harder for grafting fruits like oranges and things like that. How many generations do you have to go through before you get rid of this stuff out of the seeds and grow it naturally? Is it more safe to buy fresh fruits from the farmer's market per se? My sister-in-law's father is a huge CEO of Monsanto, and I never knew what Monsanto was.
Well, you do now. You do now. Yeah. I don't know if you can grow it out of a plant or a vegetable or a fruit. Can you?
No, you can't. Unfortunately, genetic contamination is permanent. The only way is to get rid of the plants, and then you have to attempt to remediate the soil. Once the genetic contamination is there, it's there. You can do things to get rid of radiation. You can use bentonite clay, stuff like that. You can do things to get rid of pesticides and things like that. But once the genetic contamination is there, it's carried through something called horizontal gene transfer through bacteria and that type of thing. So you've got the genetic contamination in the soil.
Barbara, in spite of the uproar about GMO foods, it's getting bigger and bigger every year, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It is. And it's because the people simply don't know. We have become so lazy. We don't look at what we eat. We pick up a can and we assume that what's in that can is good for us, because nobody could possibly put poison in the can because the FDA is looking out for us. The FDA is not looking out for us. According to their own documents and the USDA documents too, Monsanto does not have to obtain approval because the USDA counts on Monsanto to do the testing and approve their stuff, saying it's safe. They do all their own studies, and they submit the documents guaranteeing it's safe. And then Monsanto turns around and says, oh, well, we don't have to prove that it's safe. That's the government's job.
We have repeatedly tried to get a spokesperson on the air from the company, and we just can't do it. They have supplied us in the past with some written statements, of course, questioning any surveys that are out there or studies. And, of course, they stand by all their products.
Of course they do. If you're going to lie and you tell a big enough lie often enough and you've got enough money and you make it look pretty enough, most people will buy it.
I'd love to get them on to debate or something like that. Thank you so much, Barbara. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.